This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Round one, NFT and the Metaverse. We've talked about it today. It's in the press ad nauseum. Andreessen just raised a new round, a new fund, $4.5 billion today, because they believe we're entering the golden era of Web3. At the same time, the Journal had an article, I think just a week or two ago, that said that NFT transactions were down 92% from last September. There's all kinds of noise. Gentlemen, give us the truth. What's going on? And why should we care?
You want to go first?
I think we should care because we should care about what consumers are doing. I think we should care because the consumer blockchain is the biggest technology shift in our society since the internet. I think we should care because looking around this room, most of us were professionals or starting our professional careers when the internet was doing the exact same thing. The Wall Street Journal ran the same article about the internet and said it was a fad when Wall Street stock prices collapsed in March of 2000. They are down 92% from the gold rush, greed, insanity, bad behavior of September, but they, I got you, brother. But they are, they're up dramatically from a year ago. Billions of dollars of NFTs were bought in that 92% decline. And most of all, we should care because the smart contract and the utility of digital ownership will impact consumer behavior in a substantial way. You know, my career has been pretty much predicated on Web 1, Web 2, and Web 3. Web 1 I used to build my dad's wine store. And took a $3 million business to $65 million in 7 years with no capital and no credit line because email open rates were 93%, Google AdWords were 5 cents, and I rode that wave. Web 2, for me, obviously was where more people got to know me, and I built a lot of wealth and a brand and built a very large agency on the back of that. Web 3 is much more Web 1 because it's complicated technology. The reason a lot of people in this room who are incredibly bright and thoughtful may struggle at first is it's very easy for us to bring our internet brain to the blockchain, right? We're bringing assumptions of what we've learned for the last 25 years that are just not true if you actually understood the underlying tech of the blockchain. And so the biggest thing that I'd like to get out of this session with this group is nobody here is not going to be affected in a very substantial way by the blockchain for the rest of their lives. So before we read headlines, hear the hyperbole pro from me or con from another direction, please make sure you put in the 15, 20 hours of homework on actually understanding what a smart contract is, what minting is, what gas fees are, what Ethereum and Solana are. I think most people will come to a conclusion if they actually do homework and don't just read a headline that there's a lot going on here. And I think things like every sporting event ticket, every airline ticket, every receipt from a premium brand. I mean, I really do believe that most of LVMH's receipts of items over $5,000 will be in NFT form in a decade. And there's a lot of reasons why, royalties, the economics. This is a profound, profound consumer shift. And just like every other one I've seen, the masses are underestimating it, and that's where the opportunity is.
So before we go to talk, I'm gonna have some fun with the audience, with all of you. You're all super smart, smarter than me, that's for sure. Raise your hands if you agree with Gary, and if you don't agree, keep your hand down. Okay, so most, well, three-fourths of us. Okay, I wanna take it another step further now, Todd.
Yep.
You partner with Gary and his agency, and I've taken that into the world of marketing and brands. Tell us about that and what it's been like.
Why are we going into this space? I think at the end of the day, I firmly believe in everything that Gary was just saying. And I think as you think about, from a brand perspective, the future relationship you have with your consumers, right? Right now, a lot of brands are just starting to figure out DTC and how to get with consumers directly and all that. This takes that relationship to the infinity, kind of exponential power of what that can become. And you think of community building as a brand builder myself and wanting to talk about consumers. Right now there's no tool, you know, just because someone follows your brand on Twitter doesn't mean they have a relationship with you. That's just like signing up to a newsletter, right? And so getting to build communities with the blockchain technology kind of securely on the back end, I think is a really rich opportunity for brands that also, by the way, per all the royalties and how they're structured, you can monetize in new ways, that it's an entirely new, different business potential as you think about where you can take your brand. you know, for a brand like Pepsi, and you think about this future, you know, a metaverse state, you know, if you will, no one can drink a beverage inside of a virtual thing. So maybe we show up as a music brand. Maybe we provide experiences in a different way. Maybe we add value to consumers' lives in different ways. And so I think everything that he's saying in terms of the utility, and I think that's the underscore, and that's I think what everyone's missing right now, is that everyone's quick to see, hey, it's like eBay and Beanie Babies right now, and the craze of like, oh my God, and the things, and everyone, you know, sweeps in all these kind of crypto headlines too, like, oh, these crypto people, they're just, you shouldn't invest if you don't know what you're doing. You know, that's not the game. Like, that's the smoke screen up top here. Like, beneath it all is like, this is a very fundamental shift in the way business will be run, and the way brands will be run, and the way consumers will behave in their day-to-day life. When you think of somebody viewing your digital wallet to really understand what goods, what you have, what you're all about. Right now, you gotta go see what they say on Facebook, or go to their house and see what they have in their home, or go to, you know, all these other things to get touch points. The second that all becomes kind of democratized and accessible, that there's all sorts of different utilities that become unlocked. And so for me, I think as a brand and as just a brand builder, to get my feet wet is a really important thing early on. And that's, I think, what Gary's saying. I think you can read articles, but until you kind of really get in it and start to like play around on these sites and understand and buy some NFTs, that's where I think with a real, go on a Discord channel and just watch and listen. You know, don't click on anything, by the way, but just watch. but like, it's
before, before we go down that path, how many here in this room have bought an NFT, bought and sold an NFT? Okay, approximately half. So I have a question for everyone here, and then also for Gary and Todd. I'm reminded of, you know, back in December, I had a long conversation with this guy, Joe Lubin, who you might know, co-founder of Ethereum, and I said, give me the scoop on it. And he's like, decentralized protocols, and it's practically going to change everything around us in our world. Mm-hmm. You know, I got off that call, thought he was smoking something, went to bed, but the next morning started reading, started doing a lot more, you know, and I've become a believer. My question is, for those of you who did not raise your hand in this room, what's your reservation, and do you have a question for Gary and Todd, and even for me? In terms of, you know, Web3, the metaverse, and NFT, and why you're a skeptic. Please share. Does anyone dare? Come on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So, Gary, I mean, your skill set in working with creators and that piece of it, it seemed like the very first tinge of discussion around NFTs is what's in it for the creative community and allowing them to raise money through their art. Creative piece, and then I feel like we got bombarded with the finance wave of saying, if you used to buy the gold, this would be something that could be interesting to you, but it should never be something that, you know, we focus on. I think what you're talking about now is this bell curve that's happening.
Yeah, and even in the way you broke it down, there's such a fundamental difference between cryptocurrencies and, hold the mic, because we can go, cryptocurrencies and NFTs,
sure.
Right? Like, for example, I only own Bitcoin as a cryptocurrency, and only because I bought it in 2014, right? So for me, cryptocurrencies are so different because I'm really more about human psychology and communication, where that's where NFTs really kick in, right? For me, NFTs are gonna trade on the same reason the fashion industry exists. We spend lots of money on fashion brands for the name on the apparel, not for how much it costs. So, It's all it's really actually all communication. I think the thing that most, one of the biggest reasons I understood that social was gonna work was people didn't understand that humans' basic need is to communicate. Basic human need is to communicate, and social allowed people to communicate through pictures and words at scale, right? And when I was an early investor in Twitter, everyone's like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like in all of 2006, 7, 8, 9, that was my only conversation. Everyone's like, who cares if you're walking the dog? Who cares if you're eating pizza? Who cares if you're going to Spain? And my answer was always consistent. I said, everyone. And that really, really made everyone struggle, which was, by the way, at that point, no different than what happened to me in 1997 when I said, I'm gonna sell wine on the internet. And everybody in my world was like, why would anybody buy wine on the internet? You can go to the store. Who's gonna buy wine on the internet? And I said, everyone. And that's because what people struggle with is they make decisions based on themselves, their opinions, their self-interest, where they are in their career, instead of having the humility to look at scaled human behavior. Yes, ma'am. I think community is a buzzword that a lot of people use to make a pretty facade over what they really want, which is customers. I think 99% of the communities right now are completely full of shit and completely self-interest brand around their finances. They're not communities, they just want to make money on their investments. And so I think when communities are built on financial incentive, they're the furthest thing from communities. But to the point in the macro, I think it's all about communities at the end of the day, right? If you look at anything that's worked in the world, it's based on that. Right now, I think the behavior is very financially motivated, but I couldn't agree with you more. Over time, tribalism, this is why sports works, this is why the Grateful Dead works, this is why everything works, so I think that's right. I think that most people running projects right now are really struggling because they're pumping inflationary things into their projects and giving people more NFTs and this and that. They make fun of the government for printing more money. They just keep printing more NFTs because people are concerned about the floor price. If you go into the Discord of the top 200 projects in NFT land, 95% of the conversation is around money. And I think that is why you've seen the correction that we've seen, because that is more Beanie Baby behavior. But where people struggle is they think NFTs are Beanie Babies. NFTs are stuffed animals. And inside of there is Beanie Babies, but there's also Disney stuffed animals and other things. And that's where I think people are really needing to take a look.
Yeah, I'm gonna, I bought an NFT or NFTs, I'm actually book games, you know.
Thank you.
But one of the reasons that took me a while to get it, because it just seemed hard.
It is hard.
It was hard to like, and then I'm like figuring out like getting my wallet and painting and this, like that's I think one of the big barriers, and like one as a marketer and like as a consumer who's going through this hack, yeah. What do you guys see as some of those barriers breaking down just to be able, and when?
If,
right?
I'll give you my thesis. I think as a marketer who you care about the consumer experience, it is a horrible experience.
Yeah. Today.
You gotta divulge all this personal information, set up a wallet, pay gas fees, you know, you get scammed in Discord. You got, I mean, it is horrible. And it is not, this is, you know, back to all the analogs of Web 1.0, Web 2.0, right? And you think of all the companies that have gone belly up and how it's changed and evolved over time. I go back to, you remember when email was first coming out, it was like the DOS, the little green kind of things, hashtag, whatever. That's where we are right now. It's like kind of hacking to make these things together and make it work, even though the baseline technology is there. Over time,
yeah,
this stuff will innovate and it'll get more user-friendly. Blockchains will start, you know, wallets will be able to have multiple blockchains in them, that where you buy, the marketplaces will consolidate, you know, all of it. And right now, that's one of the big opportunities. I mean, think of even right now in streaming, you know, you guys are watching Netflix and Hulu and whatever, but if I said, hey, I wanna see what movie's on, I gotta check 12 places to freaking understand if it's free, if I gotta buy it or whatever, they haven't even fixed that, hasn't consolidated, right? So,
yeah.
Even though the technology is now, that's hitting a mass adoption phase as well. It takes time for this stuff to scale, grow, and evolve as consumer behavior does. But I think as you get in early and understand some of that, and as the role of brands, I think, is to help tip that behavior. You know, I give a lot of the examples of the QR code, right, which is clearly is not new. It's actually very dated technology. But right now, my mom finally knows what it is because of the pandemic and how to order on a menu. And so it's that age-old quote of, right, the future's here, it's just not evenly distributed or whatever, probably butchered that, but that's kind of where this is at. And so the experience today is not what will be here tomorrow. The understanding today is just understand the fundamentals, what makes it tick, get a little familiar with that stuff. To your point, all the Discords, all the groups right now are financially based, which is not a way to build brands. But I do believe as you see the potential, and you go back to that insight around sports fans. So if you live in Cleveland and someone else lives in Florida or whatever, and you're both, you know, fans of the Cleveland Browns, and you know that because you have you want to connect with like-minded people and people who share affinities. That's kind of the tribalism of the human kind of condition that I think this actually helps really connect.
History always tells you the future. I had an e-commerce site in '97. Do you know how many people did not want to put their credit card into a computer? everybody here who has not wanted to take the 3 hours of work to build a non-custodial wallet doesn't realize they just became their parents from 25 years ago. Everything you made fun of your parents for, you've become. And I think that's cool, because that's what humans do, but it's very true, yeah. Right? For us, looking around this room, it seemed very simple in 99 and 2000 to put a credit card in. It didn't seem like high friction. To our 40 and 50 year old parents, it was massive. They were completely scared of getting their credit card scammed and things of that nature. That's just what happens. You became your folks.
Oh, go ahead.
One of the barriers
wait
for me.
Mic so our virtual people can hear.
Oh. Yeah, and I think she has.
There's some mic. Oh. Yeah, go
back. Oh, yeah.
I'm running.
And then off to this.
Okay,
now. I was going to say one of the barriers on the NFT front is more about the fact that crypto is an appreciating asset, and you don't want to actually. At least as I would have done, I wouldn't buy a bunch of NFTs when I feel like the crypto itself is so valuable, and most NFTs you still have to use crypto for. Like what's going to change there?
Well, it's not. To your point, and this is where a lot of the tax law kicks in, a lot of people are undereducated on this, it goes both ways, right? Like, yeah. For example, I actually buy NFT. I'm the reverse of you. I buy NFTs as a hedge against Ethereum. Because I rather have it in CryptoPunks because the NFTs it can be bridged over to the platform that wins. So for me,
you
my
the NFT is more valuable than a crypto.
I do. I think it's more stable. I think it's more stable.
Stable, right?
Right. So I'm more scared that Ethereum doesn't win and is the Yahoo to the Google of what ends up winning more than CryptoPunks because I'll be able to bridge over the CryptoPunk from the Ethereum blockchain to Solana or Cardano or to something else. Right. So I think that there's I'm very aware that I'm spitting out a lot of words. Yeah, I see you too. But you know what's so funny? I really want you two to hear this. 15 months ago, I sat on my carpet. I like consuming content on the ground for who knows why. And literally typed into YouTube, what is an NFT? 15 months ago. I just intuitively understood it was time and the consumer was here. And I was willing to take time out of everything for 40, 50, 60 hours, and it's really cool. Like, it seems, to me, and I'm really in this stuff, and I've always been, right? It's who I am, and like the first pass-through was like, ugh, this is fucking complicated. But, 40, 50, 60 hours later, you start getting these words that I just threw around down. But more importantly, this becomes very, very obvious on why consumer, because you have to understand, every app, every QR code, every membership card, every points, every airline mile, everything you're thinking about is better in decentralized server land than centralized server land. They become interoperable. Like, eventually Delta's gonna realize people trading their Delta miles for something else is better and more people will fly that way. It's not in a closed world, it's in an open world. And what we learned from the physical world to the internet, we're about to learn from centralized servers to decentralized servers, and it's gonna change the world.
So we have our second glasses of wine, so we have to go down to everybody ready for this, and we have to drink quickly and drink well. So I have two takeaways coming out of this. So one is something that Todd said, which was, as marketers, we have the responsibility to, tip people into the future with our brand. And that's a wonderful opportunity in this really critical space. And then just the fact that some of us may be only 15 months behind Gary into this world, I would take that as a massive positive. It's like, go home, get on your carpet, consume the 60 hours of content. That's great.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, sure, more than one.
Why I really want it for this room is the 50 hours of homework is going to really impact your professional life. In the next 36 to 48 months, some of the biggest companies in the world are going to really need marketers that understand this. Some of the biggest companies in the world are gonna be formed that are only about this world, and many of you are in very advanced places of your career, and that knowledge base and maybe a couple of things you share on LinkedIn can be very disproportionately important for your opportunity graph. So just on some real human level stuff, the way I kind of think about why I show up to anything at this point in my life is for a couple of you going down the path and putting in the work, may actually create opportunity for you in this next 48 months, which are going to be profound opportunistic times.
I'll tell you just to build on that as well. And I went down the rabbit hole probably 13 months ago or 14 around that. And it said, once you understand it also, our role as marketers, right, is to, the rest of our organization, and you think of our finance team, our legal team, their head spinning right now with all this stuff. Everybody else, you become the Web3 whisperer in the building, mm-hmm. right? And that's right now, I'm living it as
leverage
at PepsiCo. And, you know, I'm trying to tell everyone, hey, here's the future, here's where we're going, and they keep bringing me in to more of these meetings and saying, hey, let's go and move it forward. But it, you know, you, let's put it this way. If it is not being led by the CMO or the marketer, like, you want your finance team to kind of build a strategy, your IT team, you know, your supply chain, I mean, there's, you, I'm sure people could do it, but they'd have a very different take on it that might not be consumer led. And so, given that your job is to kind of bring the consumer forward and where this, the puck is going, I think it's a, you know.
That's right.
So, along those lines here, round two is about, let's talk about examples. So there are all kinds of examples, all kinds of opportunities that we're all really excited about. But I'm curious, Gary, for you and Tom, for you, what are your favorite examples of whether it's brands or consumer scenarios, where whether it's specific to NFTs or digital collectibles, or more broadly around leveraging the blockchain to change the, you know, loyalty programs, or whatever it may be that could serve as inspiration for the group over here?
I mean, I think the biggest thing that everybody should do is get as many NFTs into as many consumers' wallets as humanly possible, because that becomes the key of driving them back into experiences where you have the ultimate first party data. It may be anonymous first party data, but it's a relationship graph. And so, you know, to me, there's the biggest part of this entire reality of Web3 is for the first time in the history of marketing, marketing can become a profit center. So I've had real conversations with Fortune 500 CFOs that are like the most not interesting people to talk to on earth, who are infatuated with this reality. Once you understand the royalty aspects of NFTs and the smart contracts, so two things just to go broad, because then people can click down into. One, marketing campaigns and strategies that allow for scale, because obviously scale matters in this room. And the way it would work is, people would get the NFT, it might be a free mint, we've done that. It might be low cost. Now they have the NFT, now you can provide value. I just spent the last weekend in Minnesota at US Bank Stadium, where we had 7,500 people there for 4 days, where the only people that could go to the conference were people that owned VFriends NFTs, right? So if you think about B2B experiential, what you do, B2C, there's just a lot there. So as many as possible that then connect back and create experiences and trigger things. And number two, the profit center. I mean, our ABI client is already into 8 figures of revenue this year on just testing. It can add up pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I love that US Bank example of, I mean, at the stadium, what you did with VFriends is setting the tone.
I mean, I created an intellectual property that's a Sesame Street meets Pokemon to make it simple for everybody to understand. It launched 14 months ago. I've done $100 million in revenue and primary sales. There's been $250 million in secondary sales where I get between 5 and 10% royalties. It's a major business. It's a major business. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that are sitting with IP and character-based or could create IP. You could create IP that you use in your commercials and your digital assets that could create NFT. There's so much opportunity. This is really, really real. And I think, you know, I hope we've sparked at least the curiosity to do at least 10 hours of homework instead of taking one headline or one friend that you know said something and that's what your opinion sits on. That's what we do. And that's what's fucking up our society, and it's definitely what's screwing us up as marketers.
Yeah, and say also, aside from just the, of course, the revenue generation, I'll say even as PepsiCo, we've taken a much more conservative approach of, hey, we're not charging for the NFTs, we're giving them out for free. And they are, hey, what are you really trying to build? Here's an example of something that we did a few weeks ago. So we have this NFT called the Pepsi Mic Drop, which is because Pepsi is such a brand connected with music, it's these little microphones and whatnot. And we did the first launch on Ethereum, which is where, you know, everyone kind of lives today. And, you know, they've already done over $10 million in secondary sales for consumers and all that. But what we did a few weeks ago is we partnered with the Billboard Music Awards, which, I don't know if you've seen the Billboard Music Awards, their actual award is a microphone that they give, like a gold microphone to all the winners. And we did a live minting with Billboard, as each award was giving out, you had 20 minutes and you could claim best new artist, best band of the year, whatever, all those things, for free on a very, what I would say, one of the more consumer-friendly ones, which was on through Dapper Labs, the Flow blockchain, so it was free. All you had to put in is an email address and you can own and mint an NFT. We also had a Pepsi Mic Drop Moment of the Year award on stage. There was a special minting for that as well. The end of the night, we minted 375,000 NFTs in a matter of hours. 75,000 of those people, that was their first NFT. And so now, all of those people now, again, once we decide to flip the switch on building a community, people who like music, people who are trying to connect with our brand, they're already in, and they don't even know they're in yet, and when we start to kind of build, and so we have, and that again was a very simple, not a huge execution, wasn't costly, was pretty, you know, there's a lot of logistics, frankly, on how the hell to do it, but it was, you know, that's just one example of a second screen experience where now you own this collectible, this I was there, ticket stuff concept.
Yep.
Is something that I think the NFTs will also be, right? And so I had when, you know, Doja Cat won, whatever, whatever, I have the NFT for when that happened, and maybe 20 years from now that's worth something, you know, it's so.
Or it's not. Or it's what a lot of human, like every person here has unlimited friends, family, that collect things, magnets, ticket stubs. Like, people are very bad at understanding what humans do normally. Like, everyone has an aunt that collects elephants, right? Like, little elephants that, right? Or, like, if just. Right? Like, I had some big advantages in this. I grew up heavy in sports cards, comic books, toys, and I lived on eBay the first 5 years that platform launched. Like, it is profound how much goes through that system in marbles, matchboxes, magnets, like profound, because it's how people actually live. And you want to talk about real friction? Buying and selling things on eBay is real friction. Pack it, ship it, cancel it. Like, the blockchain is actually not a lot of, is no friction once you get over the technology humps. So anyway, I'll leave with this because I know there's some other stuff we want to talk about.
Yeah,
I'll leave with this one point because I was there. There wasn't a marketer in 2007, 8, 9 that took social media serious. You know, like really at the level that, I mean, social media put democracy on its knees. People thought it was for kids. Like, the same thing's happening right now with the consumer blockchain. Use the fact that you came here as a spark to at least go a little deeper, because it's really gonna play out.